Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, they got me. They got me yesterday. Did they get you too? Bravo to Explore Whitefish. Explore Whitefish. They shared the breaking news. The breaking news that Bravo TV has announced Desperate Housewives of Whitefish, Montana. Filming is set to begin April 1st, 2025 on Central Avenue and continue throughout the summer. Follow along as these ladies navigate living in a small mountain town and all the drama that is sure to follow. That was the big news shared by Explore Whitefish on Tuesday morning. And when I saw it, I fell for it. I was like, no, I fell for it because it's an April Fool's joke, right? Right? It's an April Fool's joke, isn't it? Yes. From everything that I can gather, it is an April Fool's joke. But given all of the TV shows and the reality TV shows that have put the spotlight on Montana, be honest, how many of you also thought that it was actually a real news story? I mean, I haven't been fooled by an April Fool's joke in quite some time. And, you know, typically I just ignore the whole April Fool's joke thing on the radio altogether. But, yeah, yesterday, April 1st, this is the one that got me. It's funny because the image that they created, they did a great job with the image. You know, you can see downtown Whitefish looking up at Big Mountain and the Whitefish Mountain Resort, which is just, of course, you know, just, you know, one of the best views in all of America. And then they've got all these ladies that look like the Desperate Housewives or the Real Housewives of blank. And so it was like, oh, man, here's the thing. Nobody would have been surprised if they actually did it. That's what made it such a great April Fool's joke. But man, I went through, I think they, as of last night, they had something like 850 comments on their Explore Whitefish Facebook page. And so I pulled just a few of them on our Montana Talks website. If you want to see, you know, the image that they put out and more. Oh, it looks weird on my computer. It looks better on your smartphone. But anyway, just some of the comments. Shay commented on there, "I'm so dead. All the faces are the same." And then Kara Enriquez commented, "Oh, my gosh, why do people tune into these ridiculous shows? Get a life, people." Tina Marler said this, "I sure the hell hope this is an April Fool's joke. Please don't ruin Montana by turning it into Hollywood." And then Dean Lampert responded to Tina saying, "It's already happened in Missoula." Tasha said, "This is an effing joke, right? Don't come here. There's rabid bears everywhere." Let's see. And then, there was more that followed on there. But the reply that really had me crying laughing, because people thought this was serious, right? A lady named Kimberly, her reply to the Desperate Housewives of Whitefish, Montana, was just three middle finger emojis. That was her response as to what she thought was a real show.
It's April 2nd, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. It's National Peanut Butter and Jelly Day, a staple of kids at lunch and some adults, too, although now outlawed at many schools because of kids with peanut allergies. The leader of the Catholic Church, Pope John Paul II, died on this day in 2005. Elected in 1978, he was the first non-Italian pope since the 16th century. He was also the most traveled pontiff in history, clocking more than 750,000 miles around the globe. Also on this day, in 1917, two events at our nation's capital. Jeanette Rankin, the first woman elected to Congress, takes her seat at the U.S. Capitol as a representative for Montana. President Woodrow Wilson goes to Congress asking to send U.S. troops into battle against Germany. And in 1982, Argentina invades the Falkland Islands, a British colony since 1892 that Great Britain took back 2 months later. I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
If you tied the knot last year, you may find that you're paying more in taxes. I'm Jenny Cosola with your Fox Business Tax Tip coming up.
Listen to the all-new Brett Baer podcast featuring Common Ground, in-depth talks with lawmakers from opposite sides of the aisle, along with all your Brett Baer favorites like his all-star panel and much more. Available now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
When married, your filing status is determined based on your marital status for the last day of the year or December 31st. Typically, dual-income households pay more in taxes married due to the so-called marriage penalty. CPA Bill Dendy says the penalty is no longer relevant for most couples.
The marriage penalty used to be the high difference between standard deductions if we were single or married. Currently, standard deduction for a single taxpayer is $14,600 and standard deduction for a married couple is $29,200. Exactly twice that amount.
Jenny Cosola, Fox News. Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. With food prices still rising, there's still lots of ways to save while shopping for groceries. First, try to change up where you shop and consider branching out to warehouse clubs, dollar stores, and big box retailers. But if you're still partial to your go-to grocery store, at least try to buy store brands, which could save you up to 30% from name brand items. And while you're shopping, try to forego impulse purchases, which can add up. And one of the ways you can do this is by limiting your trips to the grocery store. And plan your weekly meals based on sales circulars that offer weekly savings. And check out the price per unit of different grocery items, which is often printed on the pricing display near the product. You can also use a unit price calculator to determine the cost per unit to see if you're getting a good value. And think about getting a credit card that offers cash back for grocery purchases. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, Pat in Big Timber sent me a great message. It was a great email that came in a few days ago. It was after the show wrapped up. But I thought, you know what, I got to print up this email. I got to keep it in my stack of stuff for the show here, because there's going to be plenty of opportunities to use Pat in Big Timber's email on the show here. Here we go. Yet another opportunity. First off, the message from Pat in Big Timber. The subject line is this: Jasmine Crockett. Pat says, I was wrong. AOC is not the dumbest member of Congress. Jasmine Crockett. Here's the latest from the DailyWire.com. You guys know Congressman Daryl Issa. Congressman Daryl Issa, I got to catch up with him at the SHOT Show in Las Vegas a couple of shows ago. But here they were. They're in the middle of, I'm assuming it's a Judiciary Committee hearing. And, you know, Republicans in Congress, as we talked a little bit about yesterday on the show, Republicans in Congress are working to rein in the lawless left-wing federal judges who have been launching this Lilliputian-style attack on the Trump administration and on Donald J. Trump, trying to tie him down in 100 different ways. I think it was Jonathan Turley who use that Lilliputian example, and because they want to keep the criminal illegal aliens in this country and so much more. And so that's why they're trying to stop his administration with, you know, hundreds of different Lilliputian attacks against him. And so now Republicans in Congress are working on a number of ways to rein in this lawless judiciary. But one thing they've been talking about is impeaching these far-left judges who care more about hardcore criminal illegal aliens than they do about their innocent crime victims here in this country. And so Representative Jasmine Crockett, the new AOC, the congresswoman from Texas, along with several other Democrats, the Daily Wire has this story, used her time during the committee hearing to complain that democracy itself would be left in shambles if Republicans were to succeed in impeaching any of the judges who have unilaterally blocked President Donald Trump's administration from taking certain actions. Here is part of what she had to say, along with the very timely fact check from Congressman Daryl Issa. And this comes from Laura Ingraham's program last night, where Jimmy Failla, the stand-up comedian, was on a roll. So you'll hear Crockett, Issa, and then Jimmy Failla jumping in.
If we continue down this road, then we will not have a rule of law. What it means to have law and order in this country is that you follow the order and you go through the appeals process, even if you dislike what the judge did.
AOC, as we know her, filed articles of impeachment on Justice Thomas and Alito. Ms. Crockett was one of the co-sponsors, along with Mr. Cohen, both members of this committee. It does seem...
Whoops! Whoa! Listen, man, this is to be expected from Jasmine Crockett, who is, for some reason, decided to rebrand as Cardi B's dumber sister, Cardi C-. She's not paying attention. It's all like shock jock. She's an Instagram influencer with a side hustle in Congress. She's not paying attention to anything she does, but we are. And it's hilarious. But this is the face of the Democratic Party right now.
Cardi C minus. I don't know what made people laugh more. Jimmy Failla talking about Cardi C minus there, or the committee, the people in the committee hearing room when Daryl Issa pointed out to Jasmine Crockett that she herself co-sponsored legislation to impeach judges. But now it's going to be the end of democracy and the rule of law if these radical left-wing judges who are abusing their positions of power are held accountable. Good night. All right, anyway, phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. If you got something you want to talk about, or you can send us a message on the Montana Talks app as well. A lot to talk about this morning here on the show. We've got phone lines open here in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. And then in the 9 o'clock hour of the show, we'll have more open phones time. But we're also going to get a chance to hear from Toole County Sheriff Padilla. Sheriff Padilla out of Toole County, Shelby, Montana. I've been covering this big story about the Trinde Aragua illegal alien gang members that were busted in Shelby, Montana. And the case also had ties to the Billings area. If you remember, there was a traffic stop on I-90 near Billings. And then you'll also remember that not only were there there Trinde Aragua illegal alien gang members that were arrested, but a U.S. citizen who was helping to smuggle these illegal aliens into this country. She'd been previously arrested for smuggling illegal aliens before. She had a house in Shelby, and the Toole County Sheriff's Office was instrumental in working with the Border Patrol, Highway Patrol, et cetera, in bringing these Trinde Aragua operatives to justice, along with their U.S. citizen smugglers. So I placed a phone call to the sheriff yesterday. He's going to join us on the show here later today in the 9 o'clock hour to kick things off. So that'll be coming up. That's going to be, by the way, I think that's going to be very interesting for folks across the state to hear for several reasons. And my suspicion has been confirmed. I threw out, yesterday, I said, I wonder how long this woman and these Trinde Aragua operatives were on the radar of federal law enforcement. And I'll bet you Joe Biden just wouldn't let them do anything about it. Suspicion confirmed. You'll hear more on that in the 9 o'clock hour.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Few of us like paying taxes, but in the case of income taxes and sales taxes, we do understand one thing, and that is if we make more income or buy more things, we pay more tax. The government tax collections go up and down accordingly. Property tax is different. The government collects the tax like everything else, but the government also tells us what we owe. And few, if any of us, really understand how that calculation happens. But we do understand that our local governments depend on steady revenues to fund services. And the more cynical among us might say that their calculations bend the outcomes of the process to fit their own needs. New research suggests that the cynicism may be justified. Property tax assessments in the U.S. often deviate from market values and tend to adjust in ways that stabilize municipal revenues, according to a newly released study. On average, a 1% change in market valuation produced only a 0.3% change in tax assessments, with reassessments more frequent and more complete when prices are going up. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Bullet points.
I'm Evan Brown. Buying a firearm in Washington State could soon be more expensive with what you pay going to the state's coffers. A bill is making its way through the Washington State Legislature that is already getting lots of praise from the state's Attorney General. It is a proposed law that would add the requirement of a purchasing permit when seeking to buy a gun. That permit application and processing fee could be as high as $200, according to some sources, and it could cost the applicant further if they're made to retake a firearm safety course. While its proponents say it will make children safer, the bill's opponents say it could add an additional 30 days of processing time by the state to Washington's existing 10-day wait period. They plan to fight it, saying it can't pass the U.S. Supreme Court's history and tradition test. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, so what do you guys think? Is this enough of a punishment? Did they go too far? Did they not go far enough? Get your take on this story, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app, NBC Montana. Obviously, several news sources covering this story here. I could do a quick lightning round of headlines for you, but let me go with this summary here from NBC Montana. The months-long saga over a contract controversy from former Montana Senate President Jason Ellsworth, a Republican out of Hamilton, has ended with him receiving what NBC Montana calls an extremely consequential punishment from his colleagues. Ellsworth's floor privileges are rescinded for life, and he is not allowed on any standing or interim committees. He is allowed to vote remotely. He cannot have verbal contact with executive branch directors or legislative staff unless contacted by them first, and may only correspond with legislative staff by letter or email. He is also not permitted to access legislative services, fiscal or audit space during the 2025 biennium. Ellsworth has apologized for the appearance of impropriety, but has denied any wrongdoing. Now, of course, what ended up happening here was there was a motion to expel Ellsworth from the Senate altogether. That motion would have needed a two-thirds vote. It failed in a 25-25 vote, with basically the Democrats standing with the handful of Republicans that have been voting with the Democrats on key committees and key rules assignments. So basically, when it comes down to it, the reason Ellsworth was not expelled from the state Senate is because the Democrats voted to keep him in the Senate. But you watch, the Senate Democrats will continue to try to pit this as some sort of a Republican controversy when it's the Democrats who are the ones who protected him from being expelled from the state Senate altogether. Now, several days ago, there was an effort to expel Senator Ellsworth, which failed. Then after that, there was an effort to censor him over this controversy. That censorship vote also failed. But yesterday, the censure went forward. According to the Montana Television Network, Republicans and two Democrats backed expulsion. So only two of the Democrats actually backed expelling Ellsworth from the Senate, while nine Republicans, including Ellsworth, and 16 Democrats opposed it. That's how it broke down on a 25-25 vote. But when it came to the censorship motion, The MTN report says this, 44 out of 50 senators supported a motion that removes Ellsworth from all his committee assignments and bans him from the Senate floor for life, though he will still be able to vote remotely. So that's the update on that story. What do you think? Do you think that this was too much? Do you think this was not enough? And then my question is, well, okay, so what happens now? I mean, if you're Ellsworth, why do you stay in the Senate at this point? If you can't even go to the Senate floor, if you can't take part in committees, all you're doing is voting on bills on the floor at the end of the day, what are you doing? And then what about this rift in the Republican caucus? Okay, so these nine Republicans have been voting with Democrats on key rules and key committee assignments. And as far as I know, as far as I've been able to gather, the only real reason why they've been fighting this, aside from personal disputes or not liking the way committee assignments were initially handled, as far as I can gather, it seems like really these nine, or at least a good chunk of these nine, just wanted to make sure that Medicaid expansion continued and got reauthorized. Well, that's already happened. So what are they fighting for? What's the point now? Like, okay, so Ellsworth now he's facing this punishment. So can these nine now move on and stop voting with the Democrats? I mean, seriously, the microphones are open for them as well. The phone lines are open for them as well. What are you fighting for? Why do you still feel the need to vote with the Democrats on key rules and key committee assignments here? It just doesn't make sense whatsoever, other than at this point, it's just all purely personal. It's just a personal dispute. But frankly, when it comes to voting with the Democrats, I would throw the same question out to all of the Senate Republicans. Why are you voting with the Democrats on income tax relief? If you guys missed it earlier this week, I brought it up a little bit here. But earlier this week, I was talking about the income tax bills that are moving forward in the legislature. And first off, hey, it's good. At least they're advancing income tax relief. I think that they're also advancing property tax relief as well. But, you know, Donald Trump Jr. Gave a big endorsement to the governor's tax cut plan, which is Senate Bill 323, which would cut income taxes for Montanans at every income level and deliver the largest tax cut in state history, across the board income tax cuts. But yet the Republicans are voting with the Democrats. Not just the nine, by the way, but others are voting with the Democrats on an income tax cut bill in the state Senate. And the way I see it, that bill is just class warfare. Well, we'll give this group income tax relief, but we're not going to give this group over here income tax relief. It's our money. It's their money, not the government's money. It's our money. You're sitting on a big surplus. We all deserve to get some of our money back. So why are the Republicans, why are all of them, we put the nine aside for a moment, why are all of them practically, I think there was maybe only a small handful, if any, that did not vote for this income tax package in the state Senate earlier this week? Why aren't they advancing a proposal that provides across the board income tax relief? Does it get more Republican or conservative than that, across the board income tax relief? As somebody who was a kid in the Reagan 80s and a kid in the Rush Limbaugh 90s, you don't play class warfare. Across the board relief. It's our money, not the government's money. So why are we picking, you know, winners and losers with who's going to get income tax relief and who isn't? You're sitting on a budget surplus. And no matter who's proposing the budget right now, all of the budget proposals include proposals to spend more money and to raise the budgets. Now, you can argue about how closely it's tied to inflation increases and population increases and whether they're justified or not. But the point being is that all of these budget proposals right now are proposing to spend more money. And even with these budget proposals, you can still afford with the budget surplus right now to give us our money back. So what's the holdup here? Why? And because I've heard some people speculate, well, the nine have been voting this way or that way because the governor told them to do so. Well, if that's the case, then why aren't the nine advancing the governor's income tax cut proposal here? And vice versa, why aren't the other Republican state senators advancing a more Republican, a more conservative income tax proposal? Now, one thing that is good about the Senate bill that moved forward is it would lower that rate, the bracket that most of us pay. It's right now at 5.9%. The governor's proposal would lower the bracket that almost all of us pay down to, I think it's 4.9%. The state Senate proposal would lower it to 4.7 instead of 4.9. Okay, that part's cool. But again, do it across the board. Why are we playing class warfare and picking winners and losers? You may not have another opportunity like this. I know it's so easy for people to sit back and say, oh, red wave, red wave, red wave. Montana's a red state now. Look at how great the 2020 elections went. Look at how great the 2024 elections went. And if it wasn't for the Democrats controlling the Supreme Court and gerrymandering the legislative elections, the Democrats wouldn't even have the numbers in the legislature they have right now because they have lost the support of the people across Montana. But conservatives and Republicans can't just sit back and say, ah, we're a red state now. Now we can... We won't worry about it this time around. Now we'll fix it next session, 2 years from now. There's no guarantee of what the numbers are going to be 2 years from now, right? I mean, you can look at the elections yesterday in Wisconsin and Florida, and both sides can come away from it and claim a victory. Republicans swept the special elections for Congress in Florida. So they've now re-upped their majority in the House of Representatives, a very slim majority, by two more seats again. But the Democrats, like Democrats are so good at doing, won the Supreme Court election in Wisconsin. And why was that race so important, not just in Wisconsin, but to the rest of the country? Because now Democrats will use a biased left-wing justice on the Wisconsin Supreme Court to gerrymander congressional districts to try to give Democrats control of the U.S. Congress and the U.S. House of Representatives once again. In the same regard, look at back here in Montana. The Democrats would not even have an additional 10 seats that they have right now if it wasn't for radical left-wing justices on the Montana Supreme Court putting their thumb on the scale and gerrymandering the legislative districts. And no matter where the divisions lie within the Republican caucus right now, when you guys actually come together and get a bill passed and it gets signed in by the governor, that left-wing mob on the Montana Supreme Court is just sitting back waiting to throw it in the trash can once again. So that's why we need judicial reform.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right. Hey, we got a couple of great callers on the phone lines, and we've got some phone lines open for you. I just got a great message from John Jackson, the Joker from X, who joins us every Tuesday. And I've told John before, I was like, hey, John, just because you're our guest sidekick on Tuesdays doesn't mean you can't call in at other times during the week. Really, the only limit we have is our 9 o'clock hour. We limit callers to once a week during the 9 o'clock hour because that's, you know, truly the statewide hour. And so if we didn't put a limit there, you wouldn't get an opportunity to hear from some of the newer callers out there. But here in the earlier, you know, in the extra hour of Montana Talks, as I call it, you know, folks, we don't have that same limit. Now, that being said, if you call in a lot, we're going to sneak in some newer callers first, et cetera. But yeah, phone lines are open for you. We'll get to John Jackson in just a second. He sent me a great note. He said, hey, great point there. And I'm like, which one? And so I said, by the way, call in if you want. So we'll get to the Joker in a second. But first up, Perry in Columbus. Perry, great to hear from you.
Good morning, Aaron. You know, I want to just start by no words on paper today. I want to start by saying that your show yesterday with John Jackson was an upper deck home run.
Wasn't that fun?
Today, I want to talk about voter apathy, and especially specifically conservative voter apathy, because that's one of the main reasons that we're in the mess that we're in Montana and nationwide, if you want to look at it that way. But particularly here, we should run everything, and we shouldn't have to have Supreme Court justices that pretend they're little robed gods who can determine, take the plain language of the Constitution and twist it. We shouldn't have a rogue Missoula judge who makes a spectacle of himself. It's called judicial misconduct in a courtroom and a swearing-in ceremony for new U.S. citizens. What is that? And we've got the numbskull nine in the Senate. We've got all of these things that are going on that our apathy and our unwillingness. I know everybody that is conservative is a boat rower and not a boat rocker. But the simple fact of the matter is these people will never stop. They'll never give in until we make them give in. And we have to do that. Because the only thing that they understand is a 2x4 upside of the head sometimes.
Figuratively speaking, of course. Well, in your point about voter apathy, look, there's twofold to this. Is there voter apathy amongst the general Republican/conservative voter? Yes. They'll show up for big Senate races, sometimes big congressional races, definitely for the presidential races. But what about school board? What about these, city council elections? And what about Supreme Court seats and judicial races, right? And so, I think, Elon Musk and everybody put up a great fight in Wisconsin. But we've got to continue to build the infrastructure to focus on judicial elections. And that's what conservatives and Republicans just have not done a good job at. But they've got to continue to build that infrastructure because that's where we're losing law and order in this country is vis-a-vis the courts, and they're abusing their positions of power. But I would also add this, on another angle, look, Donald Trump won Wisconsin, but the Republican Senate candidate did not. And what that tells you is there is a big chunk of Americans who they will show up for Donald Trump. But I think they're still skeptical of Republicans and conservatives in general, which is why currently elected Republicans need to show that they're the fighters that Donald Trump is.
Well, that's correct. And you're also correct in the idea that this goes all the way down to your local county school boards. Heck, our county commissioners in Stillwater County, are two out of three of them are Democrats that ran as Republicans and gained their office that way. We have to vet and put a stop to that kind of subterfuge, because it's part of the reason that we're in the messes we're in from the ground up.
All right, well said. Perry in Columbus, always great to hear from you. Thanks so much for calling in. John Jackson, the Joker from X, he sent me a message. Hey, great point. And I was like, which point? Because I never know what people like or dislike or agree with or disagree with. We're just here BSing with friends across Montana. But, John, great to hear from you. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, sir, and bravo, what you said in the previous segment. We, right now, you look at what you were talking about in the last segment about these state Republicans up there in Helena, once again, like the national Republicans, looking like a bunch of monkeys effing a football, while you have the Democrats absolutely operate as a hive-mind bunch of agenda-driven terrorists, and we're out here, kicking our own people out, And talking about proxy voting while they just rack up win after win after win. I think we're in a bad spot right now. I can tell you that right now. We have lost the momentum nationally. and we've got to gain it back. And for too long, we have tolerated these rhinos in our midst to stop our agenda. And I think just like Perry hit it right on the head a minute ago, it is the figurative 2x4 right down between the eyes, and that means you get primaried and you lose your seat. That's got to happen over and over again until these people get the message.
Yeah, but then we had those primaries last spring, and one side, you know, and it was, you know, it was a mixed bag. I mean, you had some of the more moderate ones win over here, some of the more conservative ones win over there. I would add, not only is it, do we see, like, why are these nine still voting with the Democrats, but also just when it comes to income tax cut policy, why aren't the Republicans just getting on the same sheet of music? You know, the governor, the Senate leadership, the House leadership. Let's get good conservative Republican income tax cut legislation across the finish line. But it's like everybody wants to go in their own direction.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we said on your show before, the bottom line to all of this is when this fails, when this kind of stuff happens, it's on the leadership. It's on the House Speaker, it's on the head of the Republicans in the Senate, and it's on the governor. Now, you guys are held responsible for this. You're supposed to be in charge. You're supposed to be managing your caucus and your party. And if it doesn't work, it's on you.
All right, John Jackson, the Joker from X. Great to hear from you. It's always fun to have you on Tuesday. By the way, I replayed a couple of our conversations from yesterday, like the great phone call from Trevor and Anaconda talking about the Tesla, and then there was I literally, luckily my microphone was turned off because I snorted laughing at the comment you made regarding the Teslas and the, you know, the wacko environmentalists out there. And then your line about the oh, look, they have new lights on the trail in Missoula for safety. It's not because of the grizzly bears. I had to tweet that one out as well. What a great line.
Keep it up, my man. Keep it up.
You too.
Giving them hell. Keep it up.
All right, John, good to hear from you. Thanks for the call. Let's see. Who do we got next up on the phone lines here? We got David in Columbia Falls. David, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Hey, I've been listening to you the last couple of days, and some of the news that's come out about non-citizens having social security numbers.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to point out that there's a big distinction between a non-citizen who is a legal resident having a social security number and an illegal who has a social security number. In order to have a work permit, they give you a social security number when you immigrate to the United States.
Yeah, so that's the question. How many of these are illegal aliens versus just non-citizens, right?
Right, right. So an illegal getting a social security number, that is a big deal. But every immigrant who gets a residency and a work permit gets a social security number.
Well, and where it really gets outrageous is the Biden regime gave illegals social security numbers and then used that to also give them more benefits, more taxpayer-funded benefits. Now, if you ask me, even if somebody is here legally, if you're not a citizen, why are you getting some of these benefits? You're like, even you shouldn't be getting some of these benefits from the taxpayer. You know, we're $36 trillion in debt. We've got a $2 trillion deficit right now. I mean, we're on the verge of losing our country if, you know, President Trump isn't allowed to do what needs to be done.
Well, no, I totally agree. If you're not here, if you're here legally, yet a citizen, you shouldn't be getting benefits that citizens qualify for. And I just wanted to draw that distinction because I think a lot of people didn't pick up on the fact that Social Security number, yeah, if they're a legal resident.
But even still, those numbers saw such a massive jump of non-citizens. And yeah, no, I appreciate the phone call. The other thing to remember is look at how Joe Biden abused the refugee and asylee programs to basically call illegals legal.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Those uncovered Social Security Administration files indicating that millions of illegal immigrants were added to the benefits program while Joe was president. And they showed a graph to a crowd in Green Bay, Wisconsin, highlighting over 2 million non-citizens receiving new Social Security numbers in fiscal year 2024. I mean, no wonder why we're headed towards bankruptcy and insolvency with Social Security. It was never put in a lockbox, Medicare, Medicaid. And you have people like Cory Booker claiming that Donald Trump and Elon Musk are plotting and planning and scheming to take away Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. No, they're not. They have all said repeatedly the only thing they will cut is waste, fraud, and abuse, and nothing else.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
Only two things in life are certain, death and taxes. Well, now there's a third certainty. If you're with Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile, you could be saving a fortune every single month if you switch to my cell phone provider, a veteran-owned company called Pure Talk. Now, that's right, Pure Talk, my sponsor, is cutting the fat from the wireless industry. For just $25 a month, you can get unlimited talk and text, 5 gigs of data on America's most dependable 5G network, and the average family of four saving over $1,000 a year when they switch to Pure Talk. That's real money in your pocket for the exact same service. And with Pure Talk, you have U.S. customer service representatives. They'll make the switch simple, fast, and free and easy. To do it, dial #250, say the keyword save now to make the switch. Do it now. You save an additional 50% off your first month. #250, keyword save now, and start saving today. Pure Talk, wireless by Americans for Americans.
Fox rocks.
I'm Michelle Polino. Billy Corgan is celebrating several Smashing Pumpkins milestones this year, but he's doing it without his longtime bandmates. Instead, Corgan is forming a new group called Billy Corgan and the Machines of God, featuring drummer Jack Hayden, bassist Jenna Fournier, and guitarist Kiki Wong. The band's Return to Zero tour kicks off June 7th in Baltimore, featuring songs from the iconic 1995 album Melancholy and The Infinite Sadness. Corgan will also mark the 30th anniversary of the album with a special 7-night run at Chicago's Lyric Opera from November 21st to the 30th. Miley Cyrus just dropped the first two songs from her upcoming album, Something Beautiful, along with two music videos, the first, Prelude, a mostly spoken word piece. She followed that up with the album's title track. The song, Something Beautiful, features a psychedelic rock chorus. The album is due out May 30th. That's Fox Rocks on Fox News.
Spring. Big topics. Big ideas. Big sky. Montana Talks.
Yeah, again, whether you're one of the 9 Republicans in the state Senate or the rest of them, it's like, or in the state House, for example, I was talking about income tax cuts and true conservative income tax cuts, which is across the board relief, not picking winners and choosers, not this class warfare game. That's what the governor is proposing. Why can't the House and the Senate both get on board? Or if you want to make adjustments, make some adjustments to it. If you want it to be 4-7 instead of 4-9, we'll make it 4-7 instead of 4-9. But I just do not like, I've been saying this since day one, I do not like the whole class warfare game. This, you know, that's not what America is supposed to be all about. Equal opportunity for all doesn't mean equal outcomes. But equal opportunity, and it's our money. So if they're taking too much of our money, they should give us our money back, regardless of what bracket you may or may not fall into. Plus, the overwhelming number of working Americans, we pay income taxes in the highest income tax bracket. I think it's somewhere around $20,000 a year, and you're in that highest tax bracket. So you lower that bracket, you've effectively lowered taxes for everybody across the board. But the other thing is judicial reform. Look, if you're the Democrats yesterday and you lost congressional races in Florida, but you won a Supreme Court race in Wisconsin, they would much rather win the judicial race, because look at what they are doing with their tyrannical judges acting like monarchs. There was a funny headline on the Babylon Bee, the satirical website. The Babylon Bee had a headline about how Donald Trump is going to step down as president of the United States and instead become a much more powerful district judge, because the Democrats and the liberal media want you to think that a district court judge somehow has all the power in the world and nobody else. And that's why, you know, Republican legislators have got to unify and unite around getting judicial reform across the finish line in Helena. Congressman Jim Jordan talking about the lawfare taking place in the courts at the federal level. He was on with Hannity last night.
Yeah, it's a fundamental question, Sean. Who gets to decide? The 77 million people who showed up on Election Day, voted for President Trump, knew what he said he was going to do. He's now doing that. Do they get to decide, we the people, or is it some district judge, some unelected district judge who gets to make the call? And that's just not how our system works. And then when you think about it, it's an unelected district judge who gets to make the call for the entire country right now. And so we have legislation, just like Senator Grassley is going to have in the Senate, we have legislation sponsored by Representative Issa, which would say the same thing. District judge, if you have a ruling, an injunction, it applies to the parties in the case in that respective jurisdiction. It doesn't apply nationwide. We're also looking at the appropriations process, and we're doing oversight like we did today at that hearing. All three levers we have in the House, in the Congress, to put pressure on the judicial branch to do it the right way.
Now, that was Congressman Jim Jordan out of Ohio. Wyoming Congresswoman Harriet Hegeman does a great job as well. She mentioned this. Rule 65 requires a bond on every nationwide injunction. But judges are routinely ignoring these rules designed to prevent such activism from the bench, and Americans are paying the consequences. Yeah, these district court judges, they're ignoring the rules like Rule 65. They're ignoring the precedent like what the United States Supreme Court ruled back in, what was it, 1948, 1958, that basically made it clear that a district court judge cannot tie the hands of the commander-in-chief of the United States of America when it comes to deporting criminal illegal aliens. But that's exactly what they're trying to do with these Lilliputian style attacks, trying to tie Trump down. It's a stall tactic and a delay tactic until they hope they regain power in 2028, and it's absolutely un-American. All right, the Toole County Sheriff kicks off the 9 o'clock hour next.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Few of us like paying taxes, but in the case of income taxes and sales taxes, we do understand one thing. And that is, if we make more income or buy more things, we pay more tax. The government tax collections go up and down accordingly. The property tax is different. The government collects the tax like everything else, but the government also tells us what we owe. And few, if any of us, really understand how that calculation happens. But we do understand that our local governments depend on steady revenues to fund services. And the more cynical among us might say that their calculations bend the outcomes of the process to fit their own needs. New research suggests that the cynicism may be justified. Property tax assessments in the U.S. often deviate from market values and tend to adjust in ways that stabilize municipal revenues, according to a newly released study. On average, a 1% change in market valuation produced only a 0.3% change in tax assessments, with reassessments more frequent and more complete when prices are going up. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.